Okay, then serving the Vaishnavas is the next service. So then Lord Krishna describes the glories of serving the devotees. My dear Devi, although the Vedas mention worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost and is ultimately recommended. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to Vaishnavas, who are related to Lord Vishnu. Padma Puran quoted in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita is Rupa Goswami's. Then Lord Chaitanya makes this point. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. Sages Naimisharanya further point out, the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Bhagavatam 1:18-13. Then Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Jiva Goswami in his thesis Bhakti Sandharva 202 has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with the devotees of Lord Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness, and thus becomes inclined towards the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with the devotees of Shri Krishna. For by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love, and thus revive his eternal relation with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of specific transcendental melas, rasa, that one has eternally inherent in him. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 1:35, purport. So here is the we see that of all kinds of worship, then worship of the demigods and various aspects, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Those little scissors there, give those to Mataji. And then of all those worship of Krishna is the best. It's the most important. Worship of Lord Krishna. Huh? Those were yours, no? Somebody was sitting there yesterday. Oh, I see. Okay. Then but then, more important than that, he remembers, however, above the worship is the worship of the Lord's devotees. Because the Lord himself very much has great affection for the devotees. Now, we always have to be very careful that in this understanding, then we don't say, yes, but. It means there's always the yes, but principle. This is a important aspect of, how you say, doubts and misgivings. Generally misgivings. Doubt is we accept something, or no, doubt is we're not clear on something. We hear a part of the philosophy, and we have a doubt. Does it apply, or does it this and that? But we see that the stance of the person is generally neutral, like that. Or positive in that he wants to understand, he wants to be able to do it properly, or apply it properly, but he's not quite sure how to apply it in certain situations. So it's positive, or at least neutral. Then misgivings means, even we understand it's true, we don't feel comfortable applying it because we don't feel that the situation, the persons involved, whatever it is actually qualified. Right? Not that it's specifically philosophical, it's basically emotional. So that is the tougher of the two to get rid of. Doubts, it's just like, I don't understand how something works, you explain it, and then you understand. Misgiving, even if you explain it, still the heart does not like to accept it. So it's a little bit deeper of anartas. Because anartas means it's we're dealing with these two, doubts and misgiving. So we always have to be careful. The misgiving is that we accept, yes, Vaishnavas are the most, we must worship them, it's more important than Vishnu. But all the people I see around me naturally don't fit into that category. Because I don't have the respect for them. I can find fault in them. Therefore, they can't be in this. There's something below this. Yes, that's for they dropped out of the spiritual realm, the Nitya Siddhas. That, of course, that will not disagree. Means it's okay. Right? If we look at the standpoint, means that those who have, that's okay, that's good, that's proper, that's natural. But anything below that, then I have great difficulty with accepting. So now we have to be careful because the standard is we understand how elevated is such worship of such personalities. But anybody who has taken up the path of devotional service because it is asat, it is truth. Therefore, we are willing to respect and worship. Worship doesn't necessarily mean that we get out the puja paraphernalia in that. Worship just means we respect them, we try to serve, we in some way try to deal nicely with them. Right? You see, we prashad nicely. That's a form of worship. Worshipping the prashad, worshipping those who take the prashad. So we have to be very careful there that we are not, our own misgivings in that do not come on top of the process. It doesn't get mixed up in the process. Then the necessity is because by the association of the devotees, it comes from association with the advanced devotees. And Prabhupada mentions advanced devotional service begins with the Madhyama. So it says here advanced devotees. It doesn't say advanced devotees, just of those advanced devotees specifically the Uttamas, and of the Uttamas specifically someone who is on the platform of Prema. It doesn't say that. It says advanced devotees. It means those who are fixed in the idea that service to the Lord is the important thing. Their doubts, their misgivings have been reduced, and they are very comfortable to absorb themselves in this service and to help others understand. So this is advanced. So by that, then we are advancing ourselves. We ourselves take on those qualities. They are fixed in devotional service, so then we start to become fixed in devotional service. That is important. Then it says here the value of the moments of association. So this is more important than anything one can get, liberation or all kinds of wealth or position or facilities, going to the heavenly planets. A moment's association is better than any of that, because that moment's association can awaken the desire for love of God. Desire for love of God. While all these other things will only give some material situation, and it's not so great or wonderful. But because we are conditioned to those are the great things of this world, then it's very difficult to see the value. It means that we see something very obvious, just like, okay, the person has what he's wearing is rags. He doesn't have very much of it. You know, he'll eat, you know, very little. I mean, obviously very little. You know, and sleeps on the ground. Then we go, this person is renounced. But if we see someone who has wealth but using that wealth only for Krishna's service, they're in the mood of detachment. So whatever they have, they feel it's Krishna's. It's very hard to tell by gross, you know, by the first glance, that this person is advanced and detached. Because we're so used to working with the externals that we find that unless at first glance we can see it, then it's not, they're not renounced. They're not detached. Therefore, when Gadadhar Pandit came, he showed the example of this. Don't put anything up on the chakra and stuff. Huh? Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Don't stick a flower on the top and stuff like that. So then, we have to be very careful. The Gaudiya Vaishnava is trained in the subtleties. They can see the mood, how they behave, how they feel, you know. Then one can understand advancement. So that is very important. So advancement means that the doubts, the misgivings are greatly reduced. Doesn't mean they're gone. The madhyamist means that still there are things there in the heart. But they're going very seriously. They're going very seriously. And as we discussed before, it's from the Madhyamas that the Lord's Kripa Shakti, the Lord's mercy, is flowing. The Uttamas, to be part of this preaching mission, they come down to the Madhyama platform to give us mercy. So the best Madhyamam, of course, is an Uttama who comes as a Madhyama. But also a Madhyama acting as a Madhyama has great potency. Therefore it's called advanced devotional service. Like that. Then, so that a moment of associating with what is eternal is more valuable than anything that we see, that we are used to seeing in the material world. Right? If I said, okay, you chant Hare Krishna and then, you know, thousands or millions of lifetimes of sin are cleared away, but I'm not seeing it. You know, I don't see it. I saw next to me a huge pile of sin. A big mountain of sin, and I ask, what is this? And they said, well, that's all the sins that just have been destroyed by your dancing and chanting nicely in the evening kirtan. Then you would go, wow, hey, this is great. You know, then tomorrow I'll dance in nice even more, make the pile even bigger. Then, but if it's not seen like this, it's seen by slowly become more gentle, the mind becomes more fixed. We become more enthusiastic in devotional service. We become less interested in material activities, material position, all these things. Then that is what is there. But that we don't see, it's not a big deal. You know? But the point is that only when the heart is pure do these nice qualities manifest. And when the heart's not pure, they don't manifest so nicely. Could you check in? Check it out. But then, final point being made here is that what is your gaining is that these devotees, they can encourage us in devotional service. Because they have interest in the spiritual subjects, the spiritual direction. And therefore, they can inspire us. And that continues, it says, here, even up to the platform. So this is the process. Here, one must approach. One develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined towards the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord through gradual appreciation and devotional service. One desires unalloyed devotional service, right? One must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna, because in Vrindavan only you get this pure unalloyed. Because all other realms are pure devotional service. But only in Vrindavan is pure unalloyed devotional service. So then one must continue to associate. So there, as one advances, that continues. Because what we're talking about is just the basic stages. You know, where devotees, you know, haggle over who can give mantra, who can give some direction. And this is the lowest stages. This association of devotees goes on when we get to the higher stages. When it comes to the platform of bhava, you have to associate with the pure unalloyed devotees to get to prema. And if you get to the platform of prema, you still have to continue associating with those pure unalloyed devotees to get beyond that. Because after prema, there's another six levels. Right? We only talk up to prema because this physical body can only handle up to prema. The ecstasy that is there in the whole range of prema bhakti can only be handled up to prema. Bhava and prema can only be handled in this material body. Beyond that, you know, sneha and all these anubhav and all these things, up to mahabhav, can only be handled by the spiritual body. Only the spiritual body is strong enough to be able to adjust with these things. Otherwise, the ecstasy is so much. We become very happy if one sense at a time, focusing on one sense and the happiness of that we get. You know, the sense of seeing something beautiful, some nice music, or, you know, seeing something very wonderful in nature, or experiencing, you know, the how you say, a full manifestation of a relationship, you know, a true friendship, or something that really strikes us. And it's very powerful. So now, this is just on the material platform, and let alone sensual, let alone the emotional, let alone you put this on the spiritual platform. And then, you're not dealing with one sense at a time, you're dealing with five. So each one becomes an ocean, and all five are happening at once. So it can't be tolerated. This body just won't be able, it won't function. So we have to understand that the association of devotees is going to continue through. We have a tendency to take my position of what's going on now as the all in all, so it's a big, big thing. You know, I can't accept that, you know, just those who are good, solid preachers and steady in their service can be advanced. Not only the Nitya Siddha, but we're just applying it to our situation. We actually understand is this situation of ours goes well beyond what we're at now. We are at the very beginning stages. So on the spiritual platform, it doesn't take that much to connect us and that much to give us the basic directions. The platform we're talking about is very essential for quick advancement, but mainly for taking one into bhava, from asakti, which means you have attachment to Krishna. It means great attachment to bhava, and then from bhava to prema and beyond. Because those persons, the nitya siddhas, that's their realm. That's their sphere of activities. And they come here to preach to us, to get us to that platform. Right? And there's plenty of associates there to do that. So what we're trying to do is get connected to that parampara. We're trying to get connected to that specific parampara. So this brings us to the next point. Next point is, no. Then it says consequences of avoiding association. The living entity is a social animal, and if he keeps up the society of pure devotees, he must associate with non-devotees, asatsanga. By contacting non-devotees and engaging in non-devotional activities, a so-called mature devotee will fall victim to the mad elephant offense, criticizing devotees. Whatever growth has taken place is quickly uprooted by such an offense. One should therefore be very careful to defend the creeper by fencing it in, that is, through following the regulative principles and associating with pure devotees. Madhya Lila 19.157 purport. And then this is a separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees are devotees in loads of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for the sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. The one does not understand the mood of the Lord. So then he becomes absorbed in thinking that the Lord, his great satisfaction is giving things. You know, a parent likes to give things to the kid. But if the kid thinks the exclusive taste of the parent is simply giving things, the parent wants to be able to do things with the child and wants to see the child mature and grow up and be able to move in the same, you know, atmosphere and circles that the parent moves. These are all part of it. You know, these are the total picture. And part of that is giving. But now giving according to what the parent knows the child likes, but also according to what the parent knows is good for the child. So when we are separatist, means the modes of passion, modes of ignorance are there, and then we have our own idea about what we should do. Our own idea. So that we have to be very, very careful of. Is that the idea is separate from that which actually pleases the Lord. Yeah, we have to see. Then Vaishnav character is cultivated through deity worship. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, a Vaishnav is one who has developed all the good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop as Krishna's devotees. Prahlad Maharaj in Bhagavatam 5.18.12. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, one who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged in mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Then Lord Kapila describes, the symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. And he has no enemies, thus he is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. All his characteristics are sublime. Bhagavatam 3.25.21. Letter. I am very glad to learn the practical result of deity worship in his behavior. Deity worship is the practical demonstration, and hearing from the spiritual master is the nourishment of the idea. Krishna consciousness is so nice that anyone who has a little taste of it must feel a distinction between his past and present life. That's 27th December 1968. Then, a devotee constantly engaged in deity worship according to the rules and regulations laid down in the shastras and given by the spiritual master. Realizes gradually that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he loses interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. So this is actually the goal of deity worship, is that we realize that we're directly worshipping the Supreme Lord. We're directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. This is the purpose. So now we see that it was by hearing from the spiritual master and following the rules and regulations. When these two go together, then we see realization comes. Right? In knowledge, we perform devotional activities, right, that are bona fide under the direction of the spiritual master. We get realization. Right? This is the formula. Devotional activities performed in knowledge give realization. Right? One understands that, one can see in so many situations that the two have to be combined. That's why it says if one only has knowledge, but one doesn't follow the rules and regulations, one doesn't understand religion, then it's going to be speculation because no realization can come. Plus, there's no standard for performing the activities because there's no religious platform or platform of sadhana. And if we perform all the rules and regulations, but there is no philosophy, there's no knowledge, then it is sentiment. It means it's nice, but still the realization will not come. It will remain a sentiment. That's why you see somebody may very nicely do things on that, but doesn't mature. So they're a very nice person. You find that you'll check, this person has a tendency to be a little sentimental. And realization doesn't come, or it's very slow in coming. So one must have both. There must be maturity in studying and maturity in application. Then that will bring maturity in realization. So therefore, madhyam means one who has seriously taken up study and seeing through the eyes of Shastra and following the rules and regulations. Niyamagraha, that is specifically a problem for the Kanista. They either become too attracted to the rules and regulations and think they're all in all, but they don't see their connection to philosophy. Or the other neophyte, he takes the rules and regulations because he doesn't understand them because he hasn't studied, and throws them out. We don't need to do this. Chant Hare Krishna. Right? So one must know how technically we chant Hare Krishna. We don't need this. Right? That must be understood. For the grihastha, we must. In the house, so many living entities are becoming killed whenever he sweeps the floor or grinds things and all this. That happens. And there must be a sacrifice performed to please the Lord. Right? The atonement must be performed. So now there's great rules and regulations on performing all this. So now if that is done, then that sin is countered. But it still only situates us on the platform of piety. So the devotee, for sacrifice, chants Hare Krishna. So that sacrifice takes care of the lower sacrifice of the Pancha Mahayagya. So then directly we can see by chanting the Lord's name and pleasing the Lord and serving devotees, right, then all the actual effects of the Panchamahayagyas is already included. So the process of chanting the holy name and the sadhana of that and the preaching mission does actually the functions of the Panchamahayagya. So with that in mind, and one does this, then one gets so many benefits, so many realizations. Then one has more faith in the holy name. So in knowledge, one is knowing. But otherwise, we just say, well, chant Hare Krishna, that's good. It's a beginning platform. So we have faith. So we must also start to understand. We must deepen our understanding. Otherwise, if someone asks why, then that's when the fanaticism starts. It's not fanatic that we say, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for so many rules. Fanaticism comes is when someone asks why, and we don't know why. And if someone pushes the point, we get angry. because we don't know the answer. And we find our sentiment is being challenged. I myself have accepted this. And then you're pushing the point, and I don't have an answer. So then that challenges my faith. So either I have to reject this and get upset or go away something to maintain my faith, or I may be deviated from my faith because the person brought up a doubt now. And I haven't dealt with that. I haven't worked seriously on the platform of narrative retail, that I have clear doubts so that I have an answer. Right? Therefore, the fanaticism and what do you call it? Fundamentalism and all these different things that come up in connection with those who are very strongly situated in religious principles but don't really know the philosophy can take place. And then because you're against and you're faithless and if one is one has not is not practicing being nice to other living entities, not giving disturbance, violence comes up. All these things happen simply because it's sentiment that we're following. So there's nothing wrong with the sentiment. All one has to add is knowledge of why one's doing it. And there's nothing wrong with the person who has knowledge. He simply has to add the following of the rules and regulations. So the proper balance between the knowledge of why we're doing things and how to perform the activities and the performance of the activities, the voluntary happy performance of them, then gives realization. Then problems are less. So to that degree that one follows this, to that degree the realization is there, and we find we are happy, and we can please others. Like Prabhupada, yeah, okay. Then this brings us to the two categories of Vaishnavas. So basically we have two categories, those which are called ordinary and those which are called sampradayic. So ordinary means that they accept the supremacy of the Lord. In other words, they're monotheistic. And sampradayic means they take it to the point where they actually approach bona fide sadhus and hear from them. And then they surrender to the actual, the ancient approved process of following of rules and regulations in accordance with the philosophy. Then one becomes seriously recognized by the Lord. In other words, the desire to please the Lord and all that becomes the prominent feature. While the other, then, is still very prominent. The separatist mentality is very prominent. We expect the Lord is he's going to take care and give us so many things. Like that. So here so this is, in other words, yeah, means ordinary and transcendentally situated. So the ordinary are three classes. Those who believe in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but do not practice strictly. Then the second is those who accept the markings of a Vaishnava and respect the Vaishnavas, but do not strictly practice themselves. And then the third is those who are from Vaishnava families and wear the markings of Vaishnavas, but do not practice strictly. So someone understands a philosophy and thinks this is great. I've heard this many times, that devotees have approached, or they've heard, very prominent personalities. And I think they even did a poll in America on I think one of the questions was, who did they feel of all the different religious groups in that actually knew what they were talking about when it came to transcendental subject matter, actually had answers? And it was the majority said the Hare Krishnas. But so we got the highest rating on who actually had answers to philosophical questions, but we got the lowest rating on how nicely they deal with other people. Like that. Because the devotees accepted the philosophy, but not the culture, the etiquette, the rules and regulations, from the platform of understanding how to connect with the philosophy. Like that. So therefore, the people, it's like, it becomes very difficult, because here's the guys that have all the answers you want to surrender, but they're a little rough around the edges. Then one has a tendency to, okay, stays in one's house and this and that. So this person is a devotee because he accepts the philosophy that this is where the answers are, but he himself doesn't follow strictly. Or those who accept the markings, the trappings of the devotee, like that. They wear the neck beads, they wear the tilak and that, but they don't follow strictly themselves. Or those who are born with families of devotees, you know, but dressed like devotees, but don't really strictly follow. You know, the sentiment is there. So we see in all of them, the sentiment is there, but that surrender, serious surrender, is not. So that makes them the ordinary devotees. So this is very common in India. You see, that's what Prabhupada mentions. He says, India, they're all devotees. Because practically, most of India is all on the platform of the ordinary devotees. They've all heard about Krishna, Rama, you know, or Vishnu, Nanette. And, you know, they're a little respectful, and you know, and some accept more the markings, some don't, like this. But taking the whole process very seriously, that hasn't come so much. But the other family, like many people you ask, you start talking about worshiping the deities and offering the prasad and all these different things, and they'll say, yes, my mother does that. Or they very happily say, yes, it is tradition in our family that we worship Radha and Krishna and that, and we have the deities, we have our family deities and all that. You know, now some hired Brahmin is worshiping, or just the grandmother in the corner is worshiping. No one else in the house really cares. They don't get involved and all that. Now and again, they'll go in, there's a festival, then they take part, or sometimes they go in and offer respects, you know, if they happen to walk by the room or something. But they don't take it seriously. Only the old, you know, Mataji or grandmother in the house, she takes care. So it's very common you hear that. You go to any Hindu house, you're a sadhu, one of the first things they want to do is show you their puja room. You know, they always have to go see the puja room, you know. Some little closet somewhere, or some portion of a closet somewhere, or, you know, some little room, they make a special room that's just for the puja. Like that, they do these things. So then the three categories of transcendentally situated Vaishnavas means those who want to follow seriously, like this. Who want to follow seriously. And so now there's three. So here Krishna Kshetra is brought out by the different times that it's described, the three levels, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. Then he breaks it up that one can tell the level of someone, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam, by their advancement in chanting, by their advancement in faith, and advancement in realization. So in chanting, then the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 16:72, then he describes the Madhyam, and then after that Prabhupada in his purport, the Kanishtha, and then the Uttama. So the Madhyam. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered an advanced Vaishnava, and her duty is to serve his lotus feet. Then in the purport to this verse, then Prabhupada says, a neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. This here they're called Bhagavatas. Like that. I'm only emphasizing this point, because generally what happens is devotees tend to overemphasize the Uttama side, and everything below Uttama is a write-off. I mean, an actual, factual write-off. It's like Uttama, and then there's nothing like that. So I'm only bringing out this point just for trying to establish some balance like that. You know, no other reason than this. So here he's called Madhyam Bhagavata, right? We call it Uttama Bhagavata, but here the Madhyam Bhagavata, right? Generally, you don't hear of the Kanista Bhagavata. But here he takes pleasure in chanting. So here, the best, ideally situated, then taking pleasure is Ruchi. Ruchi is the center of Madhyama. Nishtha, Ruchi, Sakti. These are the three stages of the Madhyam. So here is like it's fully manifest nicely when it is on the platform of Ruchi, because then the pleasure is there. Nishtha means they're very set in that they're going to perform the devotional activities in the sadhana. Very fixed in that. But now with time of doing that, then the taste comes. Right? So the moving through the Madhyama is actually much quicker than the moving through the Kanista. Because the Kanista you have to deal with, you have to first recognize the Narta Nivriti aspect and then take it seriously. Because many times that's one of the hardest things, just recognize that the process of Anartha Nivriti we actually have to be conscious of. Prabhupada says by chanting Hare Krishna, automatically all the good qualities will come. Because automatically by chanting, then one's going to be faced with these anarthas if one associates with devotees and hears the Bhagavatam and contemplates. So by chanting, we start to be observative. We start to see through the eyes of Shastra. That's what Prabhupada's now is telling us to read, study, associate. Because then you start to see what is the platform of those who are advanced, and then you start to think, well, what is my platform? Then, once that starts, then the Anartha Nivriti seriously takes effect. The unconscious part is there. Why chanting? It's been going on since we started, just the beginning stages of faith. That Anartha is going from the heart. But there comes a point where consciously we have to decide, we have to make the choice, I want to give up these anarthas. Right? Now why must we be conscious? Why can't it just go on and we just wake up one morning or we're walking down a beautiful place in the forest and a thunderbolt comes out of the blue and hits us on the head and we turn into a pure devotee? Why can't it just be like that? Because this is sentiment. The philosophy is this. At one point in time, we made the conscious decision that I want to enjoy like Krishna is enjoying. And when the opportunity was shown to us, here is the material energy. If you want to enjoy, here it is. We consciously said, yes, this is what I want. So now, if we want to reverse that decision that we made a long time before, then we must consciously decide that, yes, Krishna is the only enjoyer, that I am his servant. And yes, I want to give up the trying to enjoy the material nature, and I want to simply serve Krishna on the spiritual platform. Therefore, though the beginning stages of Anartha Nivriti is going on, and you perform devotional activities, these happen. Yet, the heart is automatically, unknowingly purified. But at some point, the root of being envious of Krishna, wanting to be the controller, wanting to be the enjoyer, we must deal with and decide, yes, I want to give these up. And I want to pick up your devotional service. Yeah. Right? That must be accepted. Therefore, when that conscious point comes, then Anartha Nivriti starts moving very quickly. Right? Means if you don't recognize you have a disease, you'll have that disease for a long time. But as soon as you recognize it's there, immediately one takes steps to get rid of it. And so that either might come by one's own observation or by others. Right? We're not noticing, and one day something's happening and it's getting so annoying, then we start to think about what is it? And then we think, oh, it's a disease. Or someone else may notice. They'll go, hey, you know, it looks like you're sick. And no, no, I'm not sick. No, but, you know, this, that's this. And you go, hey, yeah, I think you're right. But then it starts to go quickly. But until we recognize it, then it doesn't go very quickly. So the conscious aspect is very important. Right? In the beginning of Artha Nirvritti, consciousness is not there. We're not conscious. Right? We're not conscious. But in the advanced stages of Artha Nirvritti, we're very conscious because we know what we're dealing with. We know what are the different aspects of anarthas. And then we progress with that very nicely. So here what he says, he takes pleasure in it, means this major aspect of being conscious of it and really working has gone. He's come to the determination, he's become fixed. And now from that, the fruit of that is now he starts to get taste, he has pleasure. So this is the madhyam. He likes. When you find devotees who like doing kirtan, they like doing the different devotional activities. These are the stages of ruchi. Maybe they don't have it across the board in every activity, but it doesn't matter. You start one place, then the devotional service is infectious. Right? It goes through and it completely, this infection is so great, if it's left uncontrolled and it becomes rampant, it totally destroys the material, the well-being of the material identity, like that. If it starts anyway, someone has taste for chanting, someone has taste for, you know, service devotees, or for serving the deity, or anywhere, that taste is there. But where you know it's strongest is when it's the taste for chanting the holy name. With everything else is based on that. So this person is, one should, oh yeah. Yeah, so the neophyte is simply trying to chant. The difficulty is there. The muddy likes to chant. Is steady in chanting. Then, two verses later, Chaitanya describes the Uttama. A first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. So that is, what's up, Brej? He's here. Bob. So then maybe we should end here. It's okay. We should continue. Then the second advancement in faith. Srila Rupa Goswami distinguishes amongst the three levels of spiritual advancement in terms of degrees of faith. One who is expert in logic and understanding of revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, is to be considered a topmost devotee in devotional service. Then he who does not know scriptural argument very well, but who has firm faith, is called an intermediate or second-class devotee. And one whose faith is not very strong, who is just beginning, should be considered a neophyte devotee. So in faith, we see that when faith is strong, and one knows how to very nicely argue these points, logic is understood. Because logic comes, means if you understand the transcendental, that the transcendental is very logical, and material world is very illogical. It's only logic is that it's how it's created and run by the Lord. So then once you know the one, it's very easy to deal with the other. So they have that. They're expert in knowledge. The deep field scriptures means they're well studied, and they're able to present that to others in a very logical way. The Madhyama is not so expert. The Madhyama is not so developed. And that. So then, but he has the faith, even if he runs across a situation he doesn't know what to do with, somebody says something he doesn't have an answer for, it doesn't disturb his faith. Like that. And then, the, what do you call it? The neophyte, the faith is not very strong. He gets disturbed very easily. Have a few tests. And then advancement realization. Okay, in Bhagavatam 11.2.47, there's a description of these. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the cause of all causes, and understands that all things are situated in him. An intermediate second-class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all devotees, and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious to devotional service. And then a third. A prakriti or materialistic devotee does not purposely study the shastras and try to understand the actual standard of pure devotional service. Consequently, he does not show a proper respect to advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regulative principles learned from his spiritual master, from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform, although he is trying to advance in devotional service. Such a person is a bhakta-praya, neophyte devotee, or bhakta-bhasha, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. But one who does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others is known as a materialistic devotee. So this is a very essential, what we were talking about before. So if we overemphasize only the topmost, this, that, but even that we don't worship so much. Right? That person we don't worship so much. Because he doesn't actually understand the philosophy. He doesn't actually understand advancement in devotional service. So therefore we end up with the prakriti bhakta. It means materialistic, because he still has a material desire. The general activity will be sakya. It means one's worshipping the Lord, but with the purpose of enjoying oneself. Just going through the different levels of devotees, like that. It's all part of the deity worship seminar, and we're dealing with Swadhyaya. I was going to the philosophical parts and all that. So we're just going through the advanced, the intermediate, and the prakriti. And then we went to advancement and chanting, according to one who is always chanting, is the madhyam. The neophyte is who tries to chant. No, excuse me, one who is always chanting is the uttama. The one who is trying to chant is the neophyte. And then the advanced devotee, the madhyama, and is always he has a taste for chanting. He likes to chant, so he's always chanting. And then the first class is the one who, just by seeing him, you chant. You know? The madhyama, he's always chanting. And the uttama, when you see him, you chant. Like that. And then advancement in faith. It was for those whose faith is expert in logic, understanding the revealed scriptures, who has firm conviction and deep faith, is not blind, he is the topmost. In the madhyama, he does not know the scriptural instructions so strongly, but his faith is not disturbed. And then the neophyte, whose faith is not so strong. And then in realization, then we're going to... Then a person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, and understands that all things are situated in him. Then the Mahima, an intermediate second-class devotee, shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all devotees, and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. And the neophyte, a Prakriti or materialistic devotee does not purposely study the scriptures and try to understand the actual standard of devotional service. Consequently, he does not show proper respect for advanced devotees. He may, however, follow the regular principles learned from his spiritual master or from his family who worships the deity. He is to be considered on the material platform. Although he is trying to advance in devotional service, such a devotee is a bhakta prapta, a neophyte devotee, or bhaktavasa, for he is a little enlightened by Vaishnava philosophy. But one who does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others is known as a materialistic devotee. So then in the deity worship, then Kapila Muni makes this as a very strong point, is that if one doesn't worship the devotees or doesn't respect the devotees, then it's not very pleasing to him. Because the Lord, even though the process of deity worship is for the neophyte, Kanista, its whole purpose is to bring one very quickly to the Madhyama platform. So here the Prakriti, we see that the advanced devotee, he's seeing the Lord everywhere, and he's seeing the workings of the Lord Hippen. He's seeing the soul in every, the super soul in everyone, and that super soul is doing everything. So this is a very wonderful position, but for us, it is not so fortunate, right? So many times we're feeling, yes, if I meet an Uttamadhikari, my life will be perfect. But one of the difficulties comes is the Uttamadhikari, he's simply going to see everyone as a servant of the Lord. The Lord's in everyone's heart. It's the Lord is arranging and doing everything. And we're not going to get a whole lot of benefit from their association. Otherwise, just ununderstood advancement we will make. That's the problem. So it's only when they come to the intermediate platform, either the Uttam comes to the intermediate platform, or the Madhyama who is on that intermediate platform, when they show our mercy, then we get it. Because they will distinguish who is interested in devotional service, who's not interested. They worship the Supreme Lord, they show compassion to those who are junior to them. Then you actually have something dynamic happening. Then the preaching mission expands. The Uttamas don't add. Uttamas behave as Uttamas don't expand the mission. They themselves, because it's already the Lord. Everything that's going on, the whole world, it's all happening because of the Lord. He has entered everything, and he is sanctioning whatever is going on, and everything is moving because of him. So it's already happening. The Lord's mission is perfectly established. But as a Madhyama, then he decides this one can follow, this one's not, this one's to be associated with, this one not. So such a person, that is what we're looking for. Right? So that means he knows what is advanced from study. He knows what is the innocent person. He knows what is envious. He knows what is the Supreme Lord. He knows about all these things. Now the neophyte, then it says he does not purposely study the Shastra. He reads them, but he's not purposely studying to try to understand what is the purport. Therefore, what is the result of that? It says, consequently, he does not show proper respect to advanced devotees. So if you have someone who just by nature cannot show advancement to other devotees, to the preachers, they can only talk about yes when the nitya self-enlightened, self-effulgent personality comes along. I can respect him. Everybody else is a schmutz. Then we can understand this person does not read with any serious intent on understanding what the Shastra is saying. Very Prabhupada says here, he opens. He just says, this devotee does not study nicely. He doesn't say he doesn't read. See, Prabhupada said you should read the scriptures, you should study them. Reading means which read from page 1 up to the end. And study means then we see what are the points being made throughout, because there's always a theme, right? Like Krishna in the Gita, there's always a theme of we're not the body, we're the soul. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we're His servant. And the material nature is Krishna's energy, which is inferior to us, and is to be engaged in Krishna's service. So that theme runs throughout. But in certain places he talks very, very directly about it, and then other places indirectly, and then he brings it up again. It always moves. So study means that we see all these points throughout the book, and then bring them up. Right? Read, we'll just read through, and we'll say it's not there. Like Krishna says that the performing prescribed duties in a detached way for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, in knowledge, knowing that we're not the doer. He makes these points again and again and again through practically all the chapters of Gita. But I've seen devotees, when the point is brought up, say, oh, Krishna, it's not a main point in the Gita. It's not a very important point. Hey, Krishna mentioned something. But that's not the real main point, or it's not a main point. There's so many other points. So this means we're not seriously studying to understand what is the purport, what is the import behind it. Then we can run into these problems. Because if one can't see that, how will we understand an advanced devotee? If one can't study the scripture, one can't actually study what is a devotee. One can't see the subtleties of scripture. How are you going to see the subtleties of a devotee's behavior? Therefore, if they don't study nicely, then there's every chance they'll have the problem of not proper respects to the devotees. So when we hear that devotees will say they can't respect, just as a principle, advanced devotees or those in positions or of authority, or can't see, you know, spiritual management is spiritual, so anyone who's a manager is less. This means you can just take it directly from Prabhupada here, out of the Bhagavatam quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That person who said it does not specifically study the scriptures. Very simple. Very direct. Prabhupada, he's not being subtle here. He said they don't study, therefore they cannot respect advanced devotees. As we mentioned before here in the Madhyama, a person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered an advanced Vaishnava. Right? Prabhupada says advanced devotional service starts on the Madhyama, the preacher. Then Lord Chaitanya goes, no, one may say, no, this means the Uttama. Then why does it, a few verses later, then Lord Chaitanya says, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name. Because we know that in descriptions, they're logical, right? It mentions here, one is expert in logic and understanding of revealed scriptures. So that means the scriptures are also logical. Because who's speaking them are very advanced. Sukadeva Goswami and other persons. So they always present Uttama, Madhyam, and Kanista. They always present all three. They won't just present two. You may just describe one. You're talking about one particular class. But when you're describing comparison, you always show all three. So here is their meaning, that it is advanced. And the advanced person, then he is to be respected. And advanced means starts with Madhya. So if you put that all together, that means preacher. That's why it's said, the first offense is to blaspheme those who have dedicated their life to preaching the mission. Right? The Uttama who's walking around as an Uttama and sees the super soul and everything and all that is not dedicating himself to the mission. Because he already sees the mission is going on. So he's the only one that's not qualified. His distinction is everybody else is qualified, I'm not. But here you see he makes that distinction, the Madhyama. Therefore we get the benefit. So the preacher cannot be someone who's situated nicely, is steady in the preaching, benefiting others, they feel inspired. That person, if they're offended, that means we are not studying the Shastra properly. Very, very simple. Right? Like that. And then we must be careful of what we discussed in the beginning of the class, is that there's no yes, but. Because that's a misgiving. Yes, but how can this devotee be respected because I myself made him a devotee and you should have seen him when he walked into the temple first time and I know him, you know how much halakha he used to eat and how can he be an advanced devotee or, you know, like this. Now, be very careful of this. That is the whole process. Means the Lord is very pleased with the devotee who can respect other devotees. And when they can't respect other devotees, then we find that respect that person is not that pleasing to Krishna. So that is the three categories of transcendentally situated devotees. Questions on this? I want to say something. Some questions? Yes.
One question is how is some devotee see some another devotee or something is wrong, or at least he thinks it's like this. And what should be the procedure that we don't commit offenses, but at the same time, maybe some devotees have some defects because of the, or doing some mistake or something. No? Then what has to be the procedure? How we should deal with this person? Sometimes we have to deal. No?
Okay. You could. Huh? You heard? Okay. So then, how to deal with situation where we perceive something wrong in a devotee? And we have to deal with that devotee or interact. Then you have means what we see wrong must be according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra. It can't just be, naturally, feelings are there. But we must also see that it is backed up by the scripture. Then, if the person is junior to us or equal to us, then we can approach them and discuss it with them. If they're senior to us, unless we're in a position we feel we can go and quite submissively, very nicely present our doubt. You know, this seems to be happening, I don't quite understand. Can you explain it? Because there may be so many elements that we're not aware of. And if we don't feel, we can approach another senior devotee that is in a position to discuss with them. This is what Narahari Sarkar recommends. But we have to be very careful that our purpose in all this is actually for the benefit of the Sankirtan mission. So it's not that we ourselves, become very absorbed in kind of like moralistic understandings. And we feel very disturbed by different things, whatever may be the reason, due to our own conditioning. And we want to turn everything upside down because of this. Therefore, we must take advice and direction from others. Means in dealing with Vaishnavas, if it takes on a political flavor, that will not be pleasing to the Lord. Means Rupa Goswami says, straightforward. The dealings must be straightforward. It means non-political. But straightforward does not mean rough and nasty and just telling you what you think. It means austerity must remain. The devotee is austere. So austerity of the tongue is speaking pleasingly. If I speak the truth in such a way that it's pleasing to the person, then that is actual truth. Manu Samhita says that Brahmins must speak truth. He can't speak lie. But that truth must be palatable to who he's speaking to. So he must speak it on a level that they can appreciate. On a level that they can appreciate. Not otherwise. So one must find the level at which it can be spoken and it will be appreciated. Then that is truth. Otherwise, just saying what's on my mind, you know? I say, what is on my mind, or what I feel. But what does that mean? If the mind, or what I feel, is that kshatra. The mind accepts and rejects. So here's a point. I'm saying what I feel, but I don't accept something that's there. But unless the mind is controlled by intelligence, and that intelligence is coming from the scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, what's the use of such revealing the mind? Because that's what I feel. Someone feels, I feel it, you know, this person, he does this and he does that. You know, he's so controlling and so insensitive. But I talk to other people and they go, this person is one of the most sensitive people I've met. Because I have my own idea of what sensitivity means. And so that may not be how others accept it or see it. So in my own case, I may feel it's insensitive, but maybe I myself was insensitive. Like that. So it's a very fine thing. It's not so, one has to be very, very careful. Etiquette must be very carefully seen and applied. Otherwise we get the mad elephant offense. Mad elephant goes into a garden, nice garden. They step on everything, rip off everything, and just make a big mess. Simply because we think I am speaking truth. Right? But truth means it must be in relationship to the Lord. So either it's relationship to directly the philosophy that the Lord's speaking, right? Absolute truth, the tatsis. Or it's a truth in relationship to the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Or it's a truth in relationship to the Dharma Shastra. Otherwise, where else can you find any truth? Right? I mean, fortune cookies, maybe, or you go to those little machines, you weigh yourself, and then they speak some truth like that. I mean, where else are you going to get truth? So in other words, truth comes from God, because He's truth. So what He speaks is truth. But it still must be seen in relationship with God. Taking God's words and misusing them is also not truth. You have to take God's words and use it how God intended them to be used. That is truth. Not just what I feel. Right? If I feel bad, but I also have to see that I am looking at it from my point of view. My actual point of view. Is that I have my side of the relationship, I have to deal according to that. Right? So I must see from that side of the relationship. Otherwise, if I see from the opposite side, then it doesn't work. Just like the spiritual master, he sees that it's his spiritual master who delivers the disciple. Why does he see like that? Because he sees that the instructions I'm giving are the instructions of my spiritual master, not my own. So the instruction is saving the disciple. Right? Not only that, he will see that the disciples are sent by his spiritual master. Like Prabhupada many times would comment, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, he's only sending me this group of kids, you know. Like that, and you know, so many things doing or not doing, and that. But that's all he has done. He's seeing that he sends them, and what is the purpose? So that I will speak what I know and be very conscious of my example. So I live what I'm supposed to, and I speak what I'm supposed to. Therefore, my spiritual master is keeping me in line by sending these disciples. That is his vision. Right? His spiritual master is saving. Right? Right? So he also deals very nicely with the. He's always referring to his spiritual master. He's always dealing very nice with the disciples, because he sees both as the his spiritual master represented. Now the disciple sees that his spiritual master is his deliverance, because this person is the one who is giving me the instructions. And we understand this coming from the Paramahamsa, but he's taking the trouble to personally give those instructions to me. So therefore, this person is respected by me. And we understand by his care and his giving of these instructions, we advance. We go back to Godhead. So my spiritual master is my deliverance. Now, if seen like this, the process is perfect, all the philosophy and etiquette is in place. Right? Proper balance. Now, if the disciple is thinking, well, my spiritual master, it's not him actually who's delivering, it's his spiritual master. He's giving the instructions anyway. Okay, he's a postman. He's a nice postman, you know, okay, I like him. He's a good guy, okay? You know, but, you know, what's the big deal? Then this person is not going to do well in spiritual life. Because Krishna is a personalist. Krishna's devotees are very dear to him. So Krishna has to know, who of his dear devotees are you servant of? So if you don't respect the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, Krishna cannot take us very seriously. Because we're nobodies. We're our own man. So who's there? Right? Everybody goes back to five main devotees. You know? Goes back to Radharani, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, the elder gopis. Goes back to, you know, Sridham, Sudham, Subal of the cowherd boys. You know, Raktak and Patak and all of them are the servants. And then he has his leading cows and this leading you know, Kalpavikram trees, and like this, the spots are there. So you have to be following their line. You have to be their servant. But if you're just here I am, you know, it's like, you know, who are you? Like that. And if the spiritual master thinks, yes, I am delivering my disciple, aren't I such a great guy, then there's a problem. But it is mentioned that even the spiritual master thinks, I am delivering the disciple. The disciple who's properly seeing his own spiritual master as his deliverance, he will deliver that spiritual master. Because he will be delivered because he's following the process properly. Right? And not only while he becomes delivered, his spiritual master will become delivered along with him. Right? Because anything in connection with the devotee is liberated. Right? The devotee. Seven generations before and after liberated. Right? They didn't do anything. They just happened to be coming in the same family line. And then they were liberated. So let alone one spiritual master who is connected one to the line and who is nicely giving some direction. Dhruva Maharaj, he delivered his Vartma Padarshak guru. His mother. It's a very, in other words, Krishna is a person, and he expects us to deal as persons. So that's why the neophyte situation is in no way recommended anywhere in scripture. As a start, yes, but as a permanent situation, no. One has to, as quickly as possible, come to the Madhyama platform. Because then advanced devotional service starts. Then it gets serious. Then one appreciates devotees who are above one, who are lower than one, who is equal to one, who can worship the Lord nicely, gentle with all living entities, even those who are not devotees. And it becomes very, very nice. Otherwise, the deity is not very pleased with the service if we do not know how to live with and work with the advanced devotees. That means, well, any devotees, but especially the advanced devotees. The preachers and the uttamas who have come as preachers. Like that. Yes. No. how to get rid of misgivings. We tried before, as we see many times, Prabhupada always uses the word doubt and misgiving together. And then, basically, from seeing many times, the doubt means is you just don't understand something. Misgiving, you can understand it, but you don't really want to accept it. You know? Just like, the devotee who chants Hare Krishna is special. So, you know, someone doesn't quite understand, how are they more special? This, you explain it, they accept. Someone else, you explain that they are special, and then it's then you always get the yes, but. Yes, but, you know, this devotee, you know, last year I saw him do this. So he can't be special. You know? So the misgivings are like deeper. It's a reluctance. So then her question was how to get rid of those. You like to say something? Thank you.